have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
The Orange Crusher got a lot! It's the Frank Williams Show!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh and Johnny. As Illinois opens up Big Ten play, 1-0 on the road at Ohio State. Final score 88-80. We're on the board, boys, in Big Ten play here. Plus one on the road, quad one. Bang. Tuesday night, Big Ten. There's just nothing like it. There's just nothing like these weeknight. You work all day, you look forward to the game. Oh, I'm revved up.
It's good to be back. Man, where would we be without these freshmen? They were awesome tonight, Keaton and David. I wasn't totally ready for to be basically very stressed out at the under four once again. Like, it's awesome walking away with a win, but you're also at the point where you're like, okay, yeah, it's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and my heart rate is very high right now. So very, very glad that we came out with the win. Great, kind of like a first road environment being Ohio State, which is kind of a lame atmosphere, like a good little stepping stone for the boys.
It's perfect.
Josh, how are you feeling?
I would have to imagine that the Madison Square Garden and Tennessee experience was much more intense and like much louder, like when you're on offense, like facing the fans, like it, much louder environments than what they just saw at the Value City Arena tonight. So
using his government name.
But if I would have told you that we shot 32 free throws tonight, and
foul.
Like what would be, yeah, foul. I breathe
foul.
What would be the realistic like percentage that you think we would have gotten, or like how many of those would we have made? Like,
yeah, I would have said right around 80%. So
there's my optimist. So that would have been 25.
26. Yeah.
20. Yeah.
Well, we hit three more than that.
Yeah.
91%. Yeah. So not that crazy. Why is that? Is our season average 80%?
I think it was like 78%. I thought they said that.
Okay.
But
I guess I'm just like thinking back to the Alabama game.
If you take the Alabama game out, we're obviously shooting a lot higher. They there were a couple times we were going back to the crowd where Fanta tried to make the crowd seem like a bigger deal than it was. Like, there was one moment in the second half where it's like, and listen to this Columbus crowd or something like that. And there was another time where Fanta tried to be like, and they're loud. And they're just like the Ohio State version of Josh, who is just mad at Blocko every game. Like, he's just livid, right? He, like, we certainly have said our stuff about Crush. You know, Johnny, how you and I always talk about how, like, sports fans of the same city but different teams that feel like different sports fans?
Yes. It's
like, you forget that, like, a Brewers fan and a Packers fan, like, they're like, the same city, the same person. Football, basketball for the Buckeyes. Like, just different stratosphere of human beings.
100%. Same thing with Penn State. Like, Penn State basketball and Penn State football, just way different.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, I think they had the upper deck just completely empty. And like, you have a top 25 team in your building. Maybe it was finals week, but still kind of crazy. But Josh, the point that you made was so true that like, we picked a good day to make our free throws. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh yeah,
I said foul.
You said foul.
Foul.
You moved your
Jeffrey
head
Anderson was just inserting himself in multiple missed travel calls. That one on Kyle. That one was like a, hey, we're going to the under four. We could have been up nine. Instead, we're up seven, and they have the ball. That one felt impactful. But this was a weird game in that I didn't love how we played, but we made shots, and that really helped. Like, we made some contested threes in games where we've missed open threes. Josh, you're laughing because
Like, we're not an X's and O podcast.
It's just expert breakdown. We made shots tonight, fellas. I know the sentiment of what you're saying, John.
No, yeah, like, I totally understand it. It's just when you say it, it's funny.
like Ohio State, there were a couple runs, and like we responded with every Ohio State run, right? Where it's like we didn't implode, we didn't collapse, we didn't
We
let
were
24 in the first half by Bruce Thornton like just be the difference. Like we had a response for everything.
we were
But even
Alabama. We were
yeah,
Alabama
we were
in it.
Alabama.
We had like
Yes.
every time like they would hit a big shot, Thornton went off the version of what Stojakovic was in that game. Like they had a dagger back, and now we were that tonight.
Exactly. But I feel like if you we made 40% of our threes, and I wouldn't say tonight was any exceptional difference in terms of shot quality. We just kind of made some contested threes versus like Mirkovic, though hitting those threes early was awesome compared to the UConn game. He had the same looks and he missed them. I would say Tommy was the one guy who missed some early ones and people were getting all over him, but he made the one at the end, which
Keep
was great.
shooting, big fella. I
Keep
saw you tweeted
shooting.
that. You
Yeah,
tweeted that. Keep shooting, big
I was
fella.
waiting for
Hey,
that one. But like,
if you're open, Brad's always going to want you to shoot it, right? If you're open, take the shot.
exactly. But Keaton, a few of those off the dribble, like, okay, I have a big guy on me. Just, we really need to go back to our own rankings when we drafted. I mean, Maddie drafted him. So congrats to you for
Yeah, but in what
saying that.
position? In
Yes.
what round?
We did the draft and you picked him ninth. So, yeah.
Like the third, I got great value,
Yeah,
Ian.
third
Like
on first pick.
I got him
But
on a
like,
cheap NIL deal.
I think that was just more because we like I don't blame us still with like not buying in the hype. Like we've been burned so not burned, but we've been like told about how great certain players are, and no one's even come like this. Like I'm pretty sure, Johnny, you said this on a podcast earlier this year, but like Wagler looks so much better than Io freshman year.
I don't know if
Okay,
I said that. I think what I
like,
said was he looks better than Will Riley did at this point last year.
100%, but it's
It was
also
Riley.
Io.
It's okay. That's crazy. I don't
That's
know.
a.
Io is like so difficult to compare because he was on a team that was really flawed and they weren't
But
good.
he, yeah, but he came into his own like towards the end of the Big Ten season. It wasn't like at the start of the year. Like, remember the Georgetown game? And I'm trying to think of other
He was
ones
kind
that
of
are like.
awesome in that Georgetown game.
All right, bad example.
Hey, but yeah.
but like he like Iowa still felt like was sped up during those games. And I this is not supposed to be like shit on Iowa.
Yeah,
This is
agreed.
more of
Yeah.
like this is like Keaton is so remarkably good right now. And he's like it's finally coming over to like the national media, I feel like. And this is me saying national
Has
media
John
again on this
Fantas is
podcast.
John Fant has
No,
John
it's not
said
John
that.
Fanta. It's everyone on X saying how amazing he is, and he really is.
He's so good, and still the color announcer is calling him Wagler.
Wagler,
Like, what's
brutal,
going on?
brutal. But he played with
I
MJ, so he gets a pass, right?
yeah.
Well, actually, don't pass to him with the shot clock down, because he's tossing that potato right back at you.
Yeah, it was funny though that like he probably saw all of the European last names and he really keyed in on them because I want to say he pronounced Mirkovic correctly, but then you just see Wagler and you're like, okay, I don't need to study too hard on that one. But
They give him
Josh, I
a
definitely agree. He's
pronunciation
been
wrong.
Keaton, Keaton's been awesome. What were you saying, Maddie?
You get like a pronunciation guide, and like that's your job leading up to the week is like to. I'm just being a hater. I'm
You're
sorry.
the you, sorry, as I just have to say it, like Mariota's been said wrong for
Oh, I
years
do
and
that on purpose.
years in years.
First of all, it's Mario
Yeah.
Ta, if you've ever watched Sunday Night Football. Second of all, I do
But
that on
it's not.
purpose. I do that on purpose to piss you off. I
No,
know.
no, 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 no. Like I
Yes.
think if you were just having a conversation about Marcus, you would say Mariota and
Yeah,
not Mariota.
to piss you off. I trust
No,
me.
if I wasn't even in this. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
All right, we don't need to go deep dive down
It's
Josh's Tennessee Titans
Leviosa.
fandom.
It's Leviosa.
But yeah, Josh, I did look at it. Like Io shot 29% on threes as a freshman. Keaton's at 37%, and those are some tough ones that he's taking. So I think there's some credibility to it. I am starting to get a little concerned that he might be gone after this year
Oh,
or
that thought's already gone through my head. And I'm just like, oh my God, Ethan Brown, be the next one.
Yeah.
We're already
The
on next
exact
year.
same, like Ethan Brown's ranked 149th. He played on like an independent AAU circuit. Keaton's from Kansas. Ethan's from Missouri. Like, and you know what? We're going to unfairly hold this kid to being Keaton Wagler next year. But
look, yes, absolutely.
Oh my God. He was the 150. Yes. We've been burned before. I don't think the expectation was there. Brad likes to, you know, speak in hyperbole, and the kid has backed it up. So credit to the kid for more than backing it up right there. Yeah, he was just killer tonight on the road. Your first Big Ten road game, just so sick to watch. That's my expert analysis. Sick, sick. I'm just sitting on the couch going, that's sick.
Yeah, I mean, Keaton 8 for 9 from the free throw line. David 8 for 8 from the free throw line. David 4 for 5 from three. Keaton 3 for 5 from three. Keaton 5 assists, 2 turnovers. Like, those guys are just making plays. David 9 rebounds. Like,
kids are all right. Oh,
Kylan
awesome.
Made a comment at one point saying, "This is the best freshman class I've ever seen." And once again, we just thought it was the preseason hype machine, because how could you be better than Kasperus and Will last year? But so far, these guys have been really good. And on a night where Tommy struggled, on a night where Kylan struggled, I mean, once again, like, if you told us ahead of time Bruce Thornton's going to score 34 points and Kylan's going to score 4, we'd be like, oh, we're cooked. But not the case tonight.
We've long said that stars don't matter. And tonight really tonight really is a win for the 3-4 of us here who have long stood on a pedestal and said these irrelevant ranking sites that are here just to make a buck or two don't matter. And big win for the stars don't matter crowd tonight.
Yeah, we're going to need to talk to Robert about like what a
I tried to get him on last episode, so just because we had one question that we need to ask him, so I did send I did send him the link to tonight's episode. Oh, he said he's joining now.
One question.
Amazing.
It's just a new segment. One question for Bob.
Yeah, he just sent me a picture of where he's joining us from. He's joining us from inside the stadium, obviously, but it's called the Boardroom Sports Lounge. So he's about to say his picture is going to show the Boardroom Sports Lounge as he joins right now.
This is a professional introduction timing wise right here, Josh. How did you key that up so well? There he is.
Oh, no, he's not joining from the Boardroom Sports Lounge.
Ladies and gentlemen, the co-host of Light the Eye.
I was just there.
The co-host,
you want to see it?
The co-host of Light the Eye, Robert Rosenthal. Good evening, Robert.
Hold on. We got the video here. Let me see if I can get you going around.
This is, again, whenever Robert joins us from the stadium, this is top-notch podcasting.
100%. Yes.
This is just like a studio show at the Center of Innovation.
This is here. This is the board.
The CITL, whatever it was. CITU.
See?
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't love an Ohio State logo right there. That hurts.
I mean, it's literally named the boardroom. Did he share this with you? Here.
I peppered this perfectly. Like, the setup was, yeah,
the
there it is.
Boardroom sport. What sort of boardroom does Ohio State have?
I don't like it. You know, it's kind of like when we talked about this name, which is perfect, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, the boardroom can mean like rebounds, right? But it can also mean, you know, a boardroom. And then you guys have the boardroom on Illini board. So it's Illini boardroom. And we got all the wordplay going on.
All right, but that was not our one question. Remember, this is a segment called We Have One Question for Robert.
Hit me.
Can you set it up better than I can, probably?
So it really has nothing to do with this game, but
awesome.
We've been having this debate the past couple of weeks that we would love for you to settle, which is bragging rights. We feel, a few of us feel like Brad treats bragging rights like it's just another important game, as opposed to other people who feel that Brad puts this as like the most important game on the schedule, aside from, let's say, like the tournament. Where would you land on that?
Compared to Like if I go all the way back, I compare it to Henson, I compare it to Kruger, Self, Weber, Gross. I would say Underwood talks it up the least of those.
Interesting.
That's a win. That's a win.
Because I think our Josh and I believe that he treats it exactly the same almost as a Big Ten game, where
Yes.
he just cares so much about Big Ten conference games that
Yes.
to him this is just another important game on the schedule, no more, no less.
Yes. Yes.
Would you say
I
that?
have.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. I have a follow-up question, even though that's not part of the segment.
Here's, I he I haven't heard this from him. This is total speculation on my part. All right, Brad Underwood, and I don't think people really know. Brad Underwood hates Kansas. Hates him. Like, I can't repeat his speech to the alumni tent before the Kansas football game in 2023. Because as a guy who grew up in Kansas going to K-State, he feels about the Kansas Jayhawks the way, name the person and name the team they hate. I'm trying to think of one of you guys if you have a particular hate for a single school or something. But Underwood legitimately hates Kansas. Because of that, because Missouri hates Kansas, I don't think he has a problem with Missouri. Like if he turns on a Missouri Kansas game, he's cheering so hard for Missouri. So because he views Kansas that way as, and then, Missouri, enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing, I don't think he has the Missouri hate that, say somebody who grew up in the Metro East does.
Can you see Maddie right now or no?
I can only see you. What's the? I haven't zoomed in forever. Isn't there a toggle where I can see everybody?
Just swipe the page. Swipe the page.
Swipe the page. Swipe.
Nope,
Oh, he muted himself. This is perfect. This is perfect. Yep.
there. I swiped the other one.
Oh
Is it
man.
just a picture of Sam?
Sam
No, yeah, it
is
is.
he was unable to make it this evening, but he graciously started the Zoom for us, so
Okay.
he'll
Good.
be his picture will be there the
Okay.
whole time.
All right,
Look,
why do I need to see your face, Maddie?
I was just going through the five stages of grief right there. Look, in my head, deep down, I know that that was the answer. And I learned a little bit more information about Brad's disdain for Kansas. But in
Right.
my fanfic head, and maybe a little bit, Robert, with yours as well, I know you have
Yeah.
like a very intimate, experience with bragging rights
Yes.
and the zoo
Yes.
back in the day. In my head, I just want to believe that there's just a little bit more juice there, that he wants to win the game more, that it truly is a rivalry.
So, did you have a theory of like since he grew up Missouri adjacent, he hated Missouri?
It has nothing to do with the where he grows up. It has everything to do with he is the head coach of Illinois, and
Yeah.
our rival is Mizzou. So I hate Mizzou,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are a baby born in the city of Chicago, so you hate the Green Bay Packers like from that
Sure.
moment on. Like it's just
Yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
just that it's
Yeah.
that it's that simple.
Yep.
And deep down, I know that's maybe not true, but I want to believe that it's like when you
Well,
sign up to be the coach of Illinois, it's like I fucking hate
Well,
Mizzou.
it's part of your bonus, right? Like you get a bonus if you beat Missouri or Indiana or Northwestern. I don't know if those were the correct ones, but it's part of his contract. And like, I get where you're coming from, where you want him to hate Missouri as much as you hate Missouri because you're the fan of the team. But it's interesting that Brad hates him. Brad doesn't hate them as much as like Kansas, which is funny in itself. My follow-up question, would you say that Gross was the top of that just because like that's like kind of the game that kind of might have kept his job for maybe a year or two longer?
Again, this is an age thing, but Henson was the cat. Like Henson was he always wore the orange sport coat for Mizzou. He beat Norm 8 years in a row. Lou was very much like that game in the 80s was maybe at its peak, especially the 89 game. I think Illinois was three, Missouri was five, something like that. So that game was everything. Yes, Gross tried to bring that back and he tried to wear the orange and he tried to, do this. I think Self cared too. I don't know if Weber, if it was that, I don't think he really thought of things like that. But yeah, Henson would be number one to me as the, like, this game is everything.
And would you say that Brad's like did not like I guess him not caring as much as the reason why it's a Monday at 7 p.m.?
I
That's a
think
good
that's
question.
because I think this they had a coin flip for what day Andy Katz flipped a coin, and it was a seven-sided
It's a good
coin,
reference.
and it landed on Monday at
That's
7
a yeah.
p.m.
Yeah, I
And
mean, I
that's why
think
they're
part of it honestly is like part of it's the TV thing, right? Like it used to be like it was featured on certain networks at certain times and they would set it up, and now the conferences are different, and you know, and SEC is in bed with the Missouri, and the SEC is in bed with ESPN, and it can't be this and it can't be that. But part of it is that. But part of it is also like, look, Underwood, when he did his barnstorming tour when he's hired, he did Chicago event, a Champaign event, a St. Louis event. I got to interview him at the St. Louis event, and we did it like in front of the Bragging Rights Trophy. Like in, they did the thing at the Scottrade Center. Now it's Enterprise Center, but they did the thing there, and it was like right there where he was taking questions, and obviously other media there were asking him about bragging rights and what's it going to be and this and that. So he's fully aware from the very start of this thing that like that's a huge game, but it doesn't feel like it felt in the 80s. For anybody in the 80s, like my age, like let's go 1988, I don't know, sophomore in high school. In 88, it was please beat Missouri in December and please try to sweep Indiana because we hate Norm Stewart and we hate Bobby Knight. And it was just like so coach dependent of like you wanted to beat these teams because you hated that coach and the personalities were so big and everything else. It just doesn't feel like that anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's so much Underwood as it is the era.
So it's kind of, it's the rivalry too. Like part of it is the rival. Like, and I agree. I don't even think like on the teams that you guys hate when it comes to Illinois basketball, Mizzou is not number one, right? It's a very irrational, it's a very irrational list. Like Maryland is way higher up on that list than they need to be. So part of it is just the rivalry itself has kind of dulled out over the years, and maybe it's now the in the past maybe non-conference games like this was your non-con game. Now this is like the fifth or sixth most difficult non-conference game that you play this year. You know, you
100%.
had like one chance at a big non-conference victory and against Mizzou. Now we've had five quad one opportunities before we even play Mizzou in a couple of Big Ten games. So it's just different with the scheduling as well.
And it's a, I mean, I miss it. Those things come and go, right? Like, I'm just thinking about Iowa. Iowa was like, okay, Illinois fans don't like Iowa basketball. And then the Bruce Pearl thing happened. If everybody wonders why the Andy Kaufman three-pointer to beat Iowa is such a big deal, like, it was they, Bruce Pearl and Iowa personally ruined what Henson had built, and everybody wanted blood. And so it was in that environment where the rivalry suddenly took off, and then Kaufman hits the three-pointer to beat him. So, you know, in a game where Deion Thomas is playing in the game. So it's a, these things come and go. You know, Iowa flared up again with who got in Devontae's face? Who was that kid?
It was Connor McCaffrey. Right around
Classic.
that time, we had Stephen Bardo on the podcast, and Josh referred to it as a new rivalry between Iowa and Illinois. And Stephen was like, new rivalry.
He was just beside himself. Yeah. Couldn't believe
That was
it.
like episode three.
Yes.
That's true. That's
But
true. You know, lots has changed
like for
since then.
me, like when I was a student, or even in the 80s, growing up as a fan in high school, late 80s, early 90s, Purdue meant nothing. Purdue was like this game, like Ohio State basketball. Like nobody cared. There was nothing to any type of rivalry with Purdue whatsoever. It was, you hated Indiana. And, you know, Purdue was decent and pretty good certain years. And I can think of 94, they were a one seed and this and that. But there wasn't any kind of like, oh God, that Purdue game and Mackey and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just these things come and go. The only constant for me as a kid who grew up in the Metro East across the river from the Arch was in Missouri. You know, obviously the personal hatred and everything, but.
You know, I can live with that answer. You know, I'm gonna get jazzed up for it next Monday night, and I still want to beat them as an Illinois fan for a long time. It's still a rivalry game, but I understand from a coaching perspective behind closed doors that if Kansas is playing Missouri, Underwood's probably rooting like hell for Mizzou in that moment. So I can live with that answer. I'll
I will
continue my
also,
fanfic, but
breaking news, not breaking news, I will not be there at Missouri this year.
really.
Yeah, because my son and daughter-in-law and grandkids are flying in that night for Christmas from Idaho, and I am in no way. So Tyler's covering the game, and if the grandkids are coming in for Christmas, in no way am I going to that game. So
All right.
back to a year off again.
Yeah, I think to wrap this up though, I think it will maybe come back at some point. I mean, I still think it's a huge game and our fans
Sure.
do, but even think back to a couple of years ago when they had Mark Smith and Jeremiah Tillman, that was a
That
big game. Like that was a few
was
years of it
visceral.
being
And Pickett.
huge.
And
Yeah,
Pickett. That
and
was
Pickett
visceral. There
too.
were a couple of years there for sure. And that's what makes the rivalry fun. Again, I think not to get all sad about college basketball, but like with the transfer portal and NIL, the rosters are so different every year that I think there was something to be said when you play these guys for 3 or 4 or even 5 years, you learn to hate them over the course of 3, 4, 5 years. N
Yep,
now I
definitely.
now I is Tamar Bates on Mizzou? I don't think Tamar Bates is on Mizzou. That's the only name I
No.
could tell you, and he's somewhere else. So
Tony
I couldn't
Perkins was on Mizzou last
Tony
year. That
Perkins.
was
Ooh. But we don't
random.
even hate him because of Mizzou, right? Like we
Yeah,
just hate
exactly.
him
We hate him because of
because of
Iowa.
Mizzou, right?
Right.
So that helps. Since
I'm going to
we're
ask one question.
go ahead.
For the three of you, quick answer, as quick as you all three could go.
Foul. Oh, sorry.
Who do you want to beat the most? Immediate
Okay.
answer.
Michigan.
Purdue.
Purdue. I think this
M
season,
Michigan,
Purdue.
Purdue. Is that what you want?
Purdue, but like Michigan is like touching the answer right there.
Can I answer for Sam?
Sure.
Northwestern.
Northwestern.
I don't care.
There we go. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's good. This year is Michigan probably, but again, that's because of a name, right? It's
Yeah.
personal, right? It's not
Yes.
because of the school. It's personal. So I think that wraps that part. Since we do have you here, Robert, let's talk a little bit about today's game, though. We were talking about it before you got on. I remember, I think in the first game of the season, you gave the big overreaction for Mirkovic. You're like, if he stays 4 years, he's the all-time leading scorer, all-time leading rebounder. With Wagler's performance tonight, give me your overreaction tonight for Keaton.
Obviously, they're 1 and 2 on the all-time rebounding and scoring list. I mean, come on. No, I don't understand why Brett Underwood doesn't get a reputation as one of the best talent evaluators in the world. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, I wrote last week, like how did Bill Self not see Keaton Wagler just down the road, two-time first team All-State in Kansas? How does that happen? You know?
He's probably pretty happy to spurn Kansas. We were
I
talking
don't
about a
understand
second
how
ago.
Wagler was even available and not, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't know why Underwood doesn't get more credit for, who was I thinking of tonight? I was thinking of some player that went somewhere else and then transferred. I was just driving today and I had this like, that's another guy Underwood was the first to offer and this and that. Again, remember, when Underwood got the job, the very first player he offered had zero offers, Obi Toppin. Like, Underwood got the job and offered this unknown kid who ended up going to Dayton and ended up being National Player of the Year and playing in the NBA. And he had just scouted film of him his last few weeks at Oklahoma State and immediately offered him at Illinois, but couldn't get him to Missouri. So his track record of finding guys and just seeing film and being like, yep, that guy's a player. And here we have Mirkovic and we have Wagler. And what's next? I mean,
Ethan, what's his
yes, I was
name?
gonna the Ethan Brown or whatever his name, you know, like, oh yeah, he's the first team all freshman team next year, I'm sure, because Underwood just has an eye. Lucas Murillo. Yep.
It's a good point. I mean, why do you think? Maybe do you one hypothesis is do you think obviously he has the hits at one end of the bell curve where he absolutely nails it, but then like at the very other end of the spectrum, you have your Adonis De La Rosa, Anthony Higgs, Matiz Vassils of the
Right,
world,
but
and it's like
early you had to, they were desperate for just warm
sure.
bodies, and like Greg Edboigbedean is the only player available in
Professor
June.
Hamlin, don't forget Professor Hamlin. Robert has
I
no idea who that
love the
is.
Higgs. I love the Higgs reference and the Jermaine Nolan reference. But yes, as we've gotten to this, it's just the hit rate compared to other coaches on guys that are outside the top 100. It's how I used to feel about Wisconsin when they'd go find a stupid guard from Minnesota that no one was offering, and he's a first team all Big Ten kid. Or they'd go find, oh, who's the kid from the Quad Cities? His name is escaping me right now. Who was a completely unknown recruit and then first team all Big Ten.
From Wisconsin?
Ethan Happ.
Yeah.
That's how I used to feel, and I feel like that's how Big Ten fans are going to feel about Underwood. They should feel that way about him now. Just finding these two kids, who are two of the top five freshmen in the Big Ten, to combine with everything. We spent this whole time talking about, the two guys from Croatia and the itch, all itch team and everything else, and it's. The story of the season so far is two freshmen who are going to be first team all Big Ten freshman team locks. And that's just insane to me.
Robert,
No.
you know who I was thinking of that was like that comp was Ryan Kalkbrenner is now just in the NBA shooting like 90%. And we
First
offered
offer.
him
Oh,
first
Timmy.
offer and we were like, oh, he goes to Isaiah Williams High School. Like that was our takeaway that he went to
Yes.
Trinity
Oh,
Catholic.
maybe he's friends with Williams and we're trying to earn favor or something.
Yeah.
And what does he end up being? Yes. It's just crazy his track record of offering these players. It's crazy.
I kind of want to just,
Go ahead.
sorry, I need to put the devil's advocate about the Bill Self thing. And everyone mentions Bill Self. Like, how did Bill Self not take someone in his own backyard? They do have like the number one overall player in
That's
the
a good point.
country on
Yes.
their team that
Yes.
was in the recruiting class. Like,
Yes.
who's a
Yes.
shooting guard at 6'5". Like, I
Yes.
understand that the Wagler wasn't a takeover.
But then let's go to Jerome Tang, or let's go to, let's go somewhere else in the vicinity of how is this kid two-time state champion, MVP of the state tournament? Like, how is that person fully available and going to Illinois when all these other schools could have been there if it had it? It's just crazy.
But also, Josh, like we're better than Kansas. We're ninth in KenPom. They're 17th. Like
Yeah,
you can't
no.
tell me that
Hell
he
yeah, we are,
wouldn't
Johnny.
he you can't tell me he wouldn't
Speak it.
have played at Kansas even as a
No,
role player.
they have a take. I was looking at their recruiting class for this year just to see, and they have a take. They had a guy commit on like June 30th that is like his only other offer was Kansas State, but it was also a late offer as well. And then it's like Lamar. Like it's a guy very like underranked, and he's probably not even playing. Like they obviously had room to grab Wagler as well. It just they didn't do
Yeah, he'd be competing with Trey White for minutes right now, which is funny to think of.
All
Just like
right.
Will Riley was last year.
I got one thing for you, and then I'm going to go find where my bag is. I don't know if they were like cleaning up inside the arena. I left my bag on the media row, so I'm probably going to go look for it. One more thing for you. I'm leaning in. My friend Eric, the stats guy, the guy who keeps the stats, just sent me a text. He had sent this kind of jokingly a couple of weeks ago, and now he said, "Wait, for real? Is Keaton Wagler our Trey Burke?" I'll let you guys discuss that. I'll let you guys have a moment with it. I'm let you guys discuss that and have a moment with it, and I'm gonna take off.
Wow,
Bye,
just
gentlemen.
dropping
Oh,
that
wait,
in.
Bob. Just let it seep into your
Wait,
bones.
yeah.
Bob, one quick question for you before you leave.
Yes,
We'll let
yes.
you. But was just curious on the Ohio State atmosphere, because the announcers were saying, oh, you know, you can feel it in here. But we were saying, I don't know, they have the upper deck closed off. It seemed like the perfect first true road game.
Yes, it was terrible. It was the quietest road crowd that we will play all year. It was awful.
Amazing. It's great to hear that Ohio State.
The students are trying to get it got cut to three. When Tommy hit that three that dribbled in, it had cut to three and that pushed it back to six. Is that right?
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were I'm thinking like Crush right now would be going nuts. You know, this would be the loudest moment of the game. And they were trying to do the cheer, and it just wasn't there. It was like muted. So it was the weirdest thing of like, you know, that it's kind of that crowd that just accepts, I know we're going to lose, so whatever. You know, I'm going to try to cheer, but my friends are doing it, this and that. It was, God bless them, but it's a terrible crowd.
That's just so nice to hear after late 2000s, early 2010s Ohio State, where it's not like the atmosphere was ever amazing there, but they were so good that now this has just turned into a mediocre program.
The upper deck was maybe 20% full. Maybe 20% full.
Wow.
It was just really, it's kind of sad, man.
Wow. This has been
go discuss great, the Trey Burke thing.
Great segment. One question with Robert Rosenthal of Light the Eye. Thank you for joining us.
Of Light the Eye, I love it.
Robert, appreciate it.
Yes, all right. See you guys.
We'll catch you soon, Robert. Thank you.
Is he our Trey Burke?
I mean, that's
I've been doing the research. Ever since
I've been
he
in
said
the lab. I've been in the lab. Are you seeing what I'm seeing, Josh? That he plays for Lyons de Ponce presently. Are you in the same? He was in Mexico City 2 years ago, which is pretty cool. And he was on the this is actually not a joke. He was literally on the Guangdong Southern Tigers. Isn't that the joke that people will make of like get ready to go to Guangdong, where it's like the Dylan Brooks thing? Like, he literally played on Guangdong last year. So
I understand what he's saying, which is Trey Burke was a lightly recruited player. He was ranked like 104th, and he ends up being kind of like the marquee player for Michigan as part of that team that went all the way to the championship game. He hit some big shots. He was just like, he might
have also
been
that
player of the year.
Oh, like, he was Wooden Player of the Year, Naismith Player of the Year, AP Player of the Year. Yeah. Like he was. That's what he's trying to say is in year two he becomes that because he had an amazing freshman year and then like it just elevated as he became like a sophomore and then obviously goes on to become an NBA draft pick and after his second year, I think like. I mean, like everything we were saying before Robert jumped on, like kind of tracks, like not that we connected Trey Burke to it, but like what we were saying and how calm he is and how like composed and good at basketball he is.
Man, the hits keep coming this evening. I'm glad we got the full Zoom this evening to get that. So Johnny, you nailed it though. That I knew you would figure. I knew it the whole time. I just was waiting for you to figure it out. So I'm glad you figured it out.
I mean, I'd like to thank Josh for establishing that he was good at basketball. That was a statement that needed to be made. But I think the difference though is Keaton's taller than Trey, so Keaton might just go to the NBA this year. That's my biggest fear is you got to keep him here. Close the fence on Champagne and don't let Keaton leave so that next year he can be just an all Big Ten player. But absolutely. That is a big question mark.
We'll deal with that when we get to it at the end of the season. In the meanwhile, should we turn our attention to the next game, Saturday, Sam's big 30th birthday basketball celebration. Yay! For the Cornhuskers, who are undefeated, right? They took it to Creighton the other night, right? They beat them. They have not lost a game yet. Is this year what, like 6-7 low key for Fred Hoiberg? Is he figuring it out here in year 6 or 7 with the Cornhuskers? Not to be taken lightly this year.
Yeah, it's another Big Ten game of a team that's probably going to be in the top half of the Big Ten. Don't take them lightly. It was great to get the win tonight because we didn't mention it, but that's a quad one win.
Like, oh, yeah.
Ohio State is going to be a top 75 team, maybe even better than that. So Nebraska is going to give us a run for their money. And yeah, hopefully that home crowd really gives us some energy. Josh, you don't think they're going to give us a run for their money?
No. I'm just like, you guys make fun of me for saying that Keaton Wagler is good at basketball. And then you just give it right back with, yeah, Nebraska is going to give us the run for their money. Like that.
Maybe they won't, though. I mean, maybe they won't. We don't
ranked,
know.
They're top 40 in KenPom. They're 42nd in KenPom. That's like, that's not a gimme.
No, they wrecked Creighton. I know Creighton's not as good this year, but they wrecked Creighton at home by 20. But they don't have Ryan Kalkbrenner anymore. Creighton doesn't. So as we established a couple minutes ago. So
should we do the thing where we just name players on Nebraska again? Because that's a good way to talk about
I think
about
that we
them.
Should honestly do that for every game. Yeah, John, you got the roster. You got Nebraska ball.
Yeah, we already did it. We did this last year.
We did, dude.
If I forgot.
Yeah.
Should we do
Maddie checked out, I guess.
I did check out. Should we do it for two games ahead? Every game this season, just so
I
we always
so.
have
just because we might, if we lose, we're not going to record.
That's right. We're good for like 1 to 2. We're good for the tournament loss, and we're good for like one. Like we'll have like a gut punch loss where Johnny will text and be like, "Should we record?" And it's like, "Yeah, like we should record." Where it was like, remember the Penn State game a couple of years ago at their Palestra where we got gut punched, and we're like,
Oof.
"We should talk about this." So we're good for like 2.2 loss recordings a year. Hopefully it's not Nebraska though. When are we going to, when we win, when are we record? Is that a Sunday morning, recording fellas with, cause again, it's Sam's 30th birthday bash. That's going to be a tough work. Cause we're going all night Saturday, right? Post Nebraska win.
Yeah.
You just have to celebrate like beating a top 42 ranked team in KenPom, you know?
You only get another, you know, probably 17 chances at that in the Big Ten this year to do that. So whenever there's a chance, you must do that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, and we will, if we win, we will podcast. I did just look at the stats, though, and as a freshman, Trey Burke averaged 14.8 points per game. If you include tonight, Keaton now averages 14.7 points per game. So Robert's kind of spot on there. He's feeling himself. It's just
that was
we get him
guy.
To be a sophomore.
It was stats guy was on with that one. Got it. Okay, cool. Good win, boys. It feels good to be on the board in the Big Ten. You know, these quad one non-con wins are obviously fun, but you know, if you want to win a Big Ten title, you gotta win these. So we're one down.
As Brad says, he wishes we could play 38 of them so that we could play everybody twice.
I wish we played 38 games against Mizzou, but that's just my
yeah,
opinion.
Exactly. That's the difference between you and Brad.
And a few million in the contract right there, but that's it. Cool. Anything else, boys? How about that showing by Sullivan last night in the secondary, picking off Jalen Hurts four times? I had to. I'm sorry.
Anything else?
I had to. He had a great game. He had a great game. Mike Wazowski was tossing dimes on ESPN2 all night. All right. I think when we start talking about Monsters, Inc., that means we're done here. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Boardroom. Check out Light the Eye, by the way. Really awesome. Robert and Scott Beatty, right? They have a sick setup there at the, what is it, Josh? The Center for Instructional Teaching?
Innovation.
CIT, Technology and Learning.
Check it out. I was listening to it today. I was watching the podcast. I was watching it on YouTube. You can watch podcasts now, apparently. That's a new thing. So check it out. It was great stuff. But thanks for listening to this episode of The Boardroom. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.